Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Philosopher's Stone podcast. Your favorite podcast, I would assume. I can only assume that this is your favorite podcast if you're still listening to us. So there's no way we're either at the top of your roster or we're not on it. That's how I feel. How do you feel, Sam?
I feel like our listeners, man, they are the few, the proud, the... not the Marines. That would be cool if we did have listeners in the Marines.
I wish we had more Marines listening. And now that you mention it, yeah. If you're a Marine, you can send an email to tpspod420@gmail.com and tell us about your PTSD. I'm going to check our email right now.
What is that email address again, Jordan?
It's TPSpod420, TPS, so T as in Terrence Howard, P wow. as in philosophy,
wow.
S as in sexual, P as in predator, O as in ocelot, D as in democracy, 420 as in frickin' smoke it if you got it. We wow. have...
This is the longest email address ever.
Well, I was just doing it like radio call. Pretty empty. The inbox is empty. Let me just refresh it here. Maybe we got one in the last 2 seconds. And no, my inbox is... Honestly, it's refreshing compared to my actual email where I have over 5,000 emails in my inbox because I'm just completely swamped with random spam and I do not know how to fix this. I think we've been talking about this for...
I have over 7,000 emails.
I got up to 12,000 one time and then I had to go and like actively just spend an afternoon deleting and I got it down to like pretty low, but it's kind of sad, really.
This most of them aren't worth opening.
Yeah,
the vast majority are spam.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So you'd think with all this AI and everything, we would have this problem solved by now, okay?
AI is sending you the spam.
I know. And like how it always ends up, we are going to need AI to combat AI.
Yes. Yeah, I think I saw something about that recently.
Well, we talked about it last podcast.
Yeah, we talked about it last week, but then I saw something actually about that.
It's going to be the only way to combat it.
Yeah, you're going to have that's the only thing. Maybe an AI assistant is what you need to protect you from the other AI.
Agent. Remember, yeah, we're agent. Going with Matrix terms. It's AI agents. So you have the AI that you instruct, you tell it what you want to do, and then it gives all the information and the instructions to the AI agent. So you say, hey, I need the fucking blueprints for a bank in Sweden.
Sweden?
Yes.
Okay.
And then you tell that to AI. AI is like, all right, here's a bunch of banks in Sweden, and I can get your agent to find the blueprints for you. And you say, okay, fine, do it. And then you'll have another, then you're going to get one of the robot dogs from Boston Dynamics to crawl through the vents and steal you diamonds.
It's always bank robbery.
Yeah.
That's always the goal.
That's the world. Like diamonds are really not even that rare and they're still stuff that, you know,
Ocean's price 11. Fixing. It's price control.
Yeah, exactly. Diamonds. Yeah. So imagine making imagine having like an Ocean's 11 level like heist plan. You spend years planning it. You get your team together. You break someone out of jail because they're the only man that can do the job. And then you get it. You pull off the heist. You have a pile of diamonds in your secret hideout. Everybody's cheering. They're drinking. They're smoking cigars. We did it. We're rich. And then some warlord in Africa just releases like billions of diamonds into the market and they become worthless.
You just described most of crypto.
I wish cryptocurrency was a physical thing you had to go steal.
You know what's crazy? So you know how Trump has a coin, right?
Yeah. Didn't he do like a rug pull?
Yeah, there was a rug pull. But now also anyone who buys the coin, you directly enrich him. So you can buy the coin. You can just buy it, right? You don't have to do anything to get it. You just buy it and you automatically enrich him.
Wait, so where's the value in the coin for you?
If you can set up some sort of quid pro quo, then you will buy a huge amount of Trump coin if you get something on the back end.
So that's just like bribery with an extra step.
You could even say, yeah, maybe without even the extra step, because you don't actually have to give him any cash. You just buy the coin. And then if he doesn't do what you want, then you sell the coin. So,
okay.
It's pretty good way to curry favor. It's pretty smart.
Sounds just a tad corrupt, but who am I to judge?
Yeah. I mean, that word has lost all meaning at this point.
Yeah. Even judges aren't even allowed to judge anymore.
No. Anyway, whatever.
Who cares? It's all a show. It's all a circus. It's all entertainment.
Yep. Speaking of entertainment, I did not watch the Super Bowl.
You didn't even watch the Super Bowl, dude? Are you even fucking American?
I didn't watch it. I didn't watch it at all. I had zero interest. And I think the game showed that I was right in my prediction.
What do you mean?
Because I didn't watch it, right? Mm-hmm. I'm just going off the recap of the game that I read about. And it just sounds like the Chiefs were coddled all the way through the season, getting the calls that they needed to get into this game, particularly in the championship game. And then when they finally are on the big stage against the legitimately best team, they just totally shat the bed.
Did they not beat the Eagles at one point?
In the regular season? I don't know. I don't think
they played. No, I thought they beat the Eagles in the Super Bowl one time.
No, maybe. I mean, maybe. I'm not saying the Chiefs weren't good in past years. I'm saying this year they did not belong in that game, and they were helped there by the NFL. Because
conspiracy.
Yeah, because if you watch the game with the Bills, it was just ridiculous. But
well, I will say this. I left my house in order to go watch this, and wow. I watched probably 10 minutes of the game. I didn't watch anything after the second half. I went and had a hot tub, which was extremely valuable. It was an extremely valuable, it was more fulfilling than watching a Super Bowl game. I did watch the halftime show. Are you still with me, Sam?
I'm here. I'm listening.
Okay, my headphones cut out. Got a new pair of headphones, actually, for my drum room, which I'm really fucking jazzed about. Anyways, I'm not going to get into that. I watched the halftime show, and I don't know if I said this, my opinion on the podcast before, but I'm conflicted about Kendrick Lamar's ascension to mega superstar. Not that he wasn't already basically that, but this beef with Drake. I have never liked Drake. He's always given me douche chills ever since he fucking stood up out of his dumb wheelchair. And so I've been pretty vocal.
Reference. That's a Degrassi reference.
I do not like the way he raps, and I don't like the style of rap. And I think he actually was like one of the pioneers that kind of started a style of rap that does not have much definition to the rhyme schemes. Let's put it that way. I don't find the rhyming that or the lyrics satisfying to listen to. Some of his beats are the point is I've always thought Drake sucked at music and was a douchebag. So I was all for it to see Kendrick Lamar take him down. That being said, I think the song Not Like Us is really not good. I think it's repetitive as hell. It's annoying. And lyrically, it's like mid, as the kids would say. It's a mid song.
I have to put my cards on the table. I have not listened to that song.
So. You have. You just don't know that's that song.
No. I haven't listened to it. I promise you, I have not.
How can you promise that?
I feel like I would know it if I had heard it. I'd be like, oh, this is the Kendrick song. Because, well, like you're saying,
you might not realize that it's the song because you would expect it to be so much better, but it's a very repetitive beat. There's four notes in the whole song that repeat over and over again.
Okay, hum it to me.
You're not like us. It's like extremely repetitive, which I find is a problem with a lot of modern music, is that it's too repetitive. Anyways, I had that shit stuck in my head all night that night.
I wonder if that's by design.
Yeah, for sure. It's like an earworm.
The jingle, the earworm.
They're using jingle level musicianship nowadays, and that song won fucking album of the year or song of the year, some shit at the Grammys. And I cannot. I'm at the point now where I have to leave the room or turn it off as soon as I hear that. Weep, weep, weep. Weep, weep, weep. And as far as dissing goes, like, it's not that, it doesn't hit that hard as a diss track, in my opinion, either. So I don't know. I think it's all industry bullshit that it's just like any other art form. There's a billion people way better at that art form that you'll never hear of.
Okay, so if we go all the way back to the beginning, if that's even possible with the Drake Kendrick beef, what started it? Is this a moral outrage on Kendrick's part that Drake has perhaps maybe dated an underage, like younger than 18? Is that what it is?
So he's, I guess, had some very suspicious friendships with underage women.
Okay.
I think within the people in the know think that he has broken the law in that area several times.
Oh, statutory rape.
Yes. So
in Canada?
What do you mean in Canada? Oh, because the sentence is 16. I don't know.
Like, how old are these girls?
I don't know. Let's say 15 for.
Okay. Jesus Christ. I'm going to look.
Well, okay. When he had Millie Bobby Brown in his contact list and was texting her frequently, I think he threw her massive 16th birthday party.
She's 20 years old. She was born in 2004.
Yes. But when she was 15, her and Drake had a friendship.
What? 15?
I think so. This is as far as I can recall.
I'm Googling Millie Bobby Brown Drake birthday party.
Yeah. Don't put Pornhub in after that. Some definitely been recreated.
Okay. Time magazine. This is not a TikTok meme. This is a real article.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Stranger things have happened than a 13-year-old television
13
star hanging out at a Golden Globes after party. Notorious Stranger Things fanboy Drake hung out with Millie Bobby Brown, also known as 11. Not her age, she's 13. at Netflix's Golden Globes party. Okay, all right, so they're at a party, okay.
He's a fan of the show so far, kind of. No, but he threw her a birthday party.
This article is from 2018. Wow.
You didn't find anything?
The party wasn't the first instance the two stars hung out together. Whoa. Okay, so then after that, there was another birthday? Okay, this is grooming. This is grooming.
Yeah, exactly. It is grooming. And also, like, I don't care how big of a fan of a show you are, you don't befriend a 13-year-old girl and, like, slide in her DMs, ask her how she's doing and shit.
That is
weird. Give her boots, probably buying her alcohol. Like, it's weird. It's weird.
He's frozen in adolescence from before he became
all those
famous.
Big pop stars are. That's what happened to Michael Jackson. He was, like, nine for mentally.
Yeah. And so they're only attracted to people who are their age mentally.
Yes, in their minds. That's why Michael Jackson wanted like fucking 7-year-old boys, because that's when his mental state stopped maturing, because he suffered so much abuse.
Yeah, that's the problem, right? Is they stop maturing, but they continue like becoming more and more intelligent and like cunning as they get older.
But also, it's like you're a 7-year-old in your mind and spirit, but your dick is a full-grown man with needs, right?
You might be 7 in your ability to relate to women, but you're a 31-year-old calculating male. Like, you're not an idiot. You know how to manipulate.
There's a power dynamic. There's a lot of shit wrong with that. Did he ever break the law, as in like bang? I don't know. But when you get into a rap beef, that doesn't matter. You can be
Even the emotional intimacy is totally inappropriate. Yeah.
I think what happened was Drake referred to him and J. Cole and Kendrick as the big three in the rap game. And then Kendrick had a line that said, "Fuck the big three, it's just big me." And I think that's what started it.
Okay, so Kendrick is an egotistical maniac. That's
well, yeah. They, out of those three, J. Cole is by far the most impressive musician, in my opinion. I listen to J. Cole music. I can listen to a whole J. Cole album and be like, very much like, this is a great rap album. I've never been able to do that with Kendrick, or not even fucking stand. I can't even listen to a whole Drake song. Kendrick, at least, I was like, all right, I see he's a very artsy kind of, you know, rapper. The thing that Kendrick did a lot that I didn't like, and I still don't like when people do this, is when they have like three songs in one song. You know what I mean?
Like major key shifts.
Basically tempo shift. Basically, they're shoving three songs into one to make it seem more artistic.
Right.
And I didn't get any of that from J. Cole's music. So
It's like a triptych.
Yeah. So what happened was J. Cole actually put out a diss track and then he rescinded it.
You can do that? You can rescind a diss track? How do you do that? You have to file paperwork? What do you do?
I think he just deleted it off of Spotify. The album was great. Well, that, you know, what's funny is the album's called Might Delete It Later. That was the name of the whole album. Yeah.
It was all part of the...
But there's some banging tracks on that thing. Anyways, that's when the Drake and Kendrick beef started heating up after J. Cole got out of the way, basically. It started getting really out of hand, and it crescendoed with the song Not Like Us, where he just basically was calling Drake a pedophile the whole time. But he did another song that I actually thought was way better, that was like more slow more of a slow tempo, which is probably why it didn't blow up as much. But the song was Kendrick addressing Drake's kids, talking to them directly, telling them they don't have to be like their dad. Like, that's pretty fucking lethal. That's pretty savage to do.
That would usually be where they have a celebrity boxing match at that point.
Yeah, they should. But,
I mean, Kendrick is like 2 feet tall, so that would not be funny.
Yeah, he's a real short guy, but I still think he could beat up Drake somehow. Drake just seems he just seems so soft to me.
Yeah, I mean, this is nuts, right? Like, this is hilarious. Drake says something that is paying a compliment to Kendrick and putting himself down at the same time.
How?
Because he's saying these are the big three, and it doesn't include me. The big three now.
It does include him.
He said it's me,
Drake, J. Cole, and Kendrick. So he's like,
oh, he said we are the big three.
Yes.
Okay.
But I don't know what their relationship was.
He didn't give it an order. He didn't put them in order.
I don't know.
It was in no particular order. These are the big three. And Kendrick was like, no. There's not even three. There's just one. Which is putting it in order. And saying that the gap between one and two is so huge that just forget about even having a top three. That's kind of like what he's saying.
Yeah. I'm not well versed in this whole beef. All I know is I don't like the song Not Like Us. I'm not even aware of Drake's, what his songs were during this whole beef. But I kind of liked it. You know what was a fun rap beef was MGK versus Eminem. That was a fun one because it was so lopsided, but it was still...
Yeah.
I still think that Rap Devil is a better song than Light Not Like Us by a long shot.
Mm.
But Killshot, Eminem's response to MGK, basically like fucking kicked MGK right out of the genre for years. He didn't put out any rap tracks for like, I don't even know if he's really even put out a rap album since then. I will say this, it made MGK a household name though. Marketing wise, he won.
That was smart.
Yeah, he did.
And then Conor McGregor attacked him, right?
What?
Didn't Conor McGregor kick him or something?
I feel like Conor McGregor lashes out at anyone that gets too close to him. I don't know about that, but
he got into a scuffle with
with MGK?
Got into a scuffle with him, yes.
Oh my god, really? Okay. I didn't
know. This is 2021. This is 2021 at the MTV Video Music Awards.
That's so funny. I would love to see that celebrity boxing match.
Kelly was held back by security and his girlfriend, Megan Fox. Seconds later, McGregor was escorted away. But more video captured him throwing a cocktail in Kelly's direction.
Machine Gun Kelly was held down by his girlfriend.
We'll be back, babe.
No, never heard of that. I wonder if it's because I know that fucking Stipe is a big MGK fan because they're from the same city. So maybe there's something in there. That has something to do with it.
I'm going to send you this picture of them at the event.
Okay. So basically that beef was good. The kill shot by Eminem was awesome as far as lyrically just completely decimated him. Satisfying rhyme schemes, good flow. Anyways, but I think if you're going to be like whose profile got raised by that, it was MGK. Even though he lost, he became a household name because of that.
Yeah. That is smart, right? If you just, man, that is like, okay, this is a horrible comparison, but I think it needs to be made. This is like the musical equivalent of trying to kill somebody famous to become famous yourself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
No one knew who the guy who killed JFK was before he took the shot, right?
Right. Maybe we still don't know
who he is. Well, I thought we were supposed to get like some big revelation from Trump about that shit.
Oh, man.
Okay, let me check this picture.
Okay, look at that picture. Try and find Conor McGregor in the picture.
Oh, I see him. He's got a freaking cane or something.
That's after he broke his leg fighting Dustin Poirier. So he was literally hobbling around on a cane. Like,
does MGK have a really long necklace, or what's going on with his face? Is he turning into a merman? What's happening there?
They look like some sort of jewels studded
like
on
put
his...
right on his face. Or he's got like... You know, in the grayscale from Game of Thrones.
Oh, he's got grayscale,
like
yeah.
Looks like grayscale.
And then Megan Fox looks like she's like just soaking wet for some reason.
Well, just talking to Machine Gun Kelly.
Oh, that'll do it. That'll do it. Anyway, that's crazy. I don't like Not Like Us. That's my whole point. And I think people need to do better when it comes to their... Maybe I'm just like behind the times with rap, but like I really still do respect when rhyme schemes actually make sense and actually rhyme. Like I feel like rhyming has become very less, like a lot less important in rap to a point where it's like it's almost like there's a super obvious rhyme that you could do, which would tie up that whole line, and you deliberately choose something that doesn't rhyme for some reason. I don't know. Fuck me. I don't care.
Yeah, it's a negative rhyme. You're hearing the rhyme that isn't there. Yeah,
but it doesn't give me that sense of like satisfaction when I hear a nice rhyme scheme.
Yeah. Well, okay. So this is so Drake, Kendrick, right? Can we separate the art from the artist? Maybe you hate Drake because of his music, or maybe you hate him because of his behavior with women. Can you still enjoy a Drake song, knowing what we now know?
I started off hating his music, and when I heard it, I got douchebag vibes from him. And then after all that, after like that thought, once I was exposed to his music, I didn't like him because of the music. And then I started hearing more things about his actual character, and that made me hate him, like him less. And then I didn't like the style of rap he was doing was starting to permeate throughout the entire genre, which I thought was like, I thought literally he was like a disease on the genre of rap, and all the new rappers coming up were kind of emulating that style, which I just don't find good, which is, you know, whatever. That's just a personal preference. But like, he really comes off as a douchebag to me, Drake, and he always has. And I know he's loved. I used to talk about this on stage, and like young crowds would fucking turn on me when I say this shit. But I don't even know if I had jokes about him. I just was using my time on stage with a microphone to speak my mind on the Drake equation.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, yeah, I don't know. It's tricky. It's tricky. A lot of musicians, pretty shitty people. But can you still enjoy their music? I don't know. What if you're like, what if our favorite artist, what if you don't know that a musician is bad. Someone is bad, then it is, there is something there. You do have to think about it.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, this, we all know now that Michael Jackson was a prolific pedophile. That doesn't suddenly make Thriller a bad song, right?
No, but can you still enjoy it?
I can, yes.
Yeah.
And lots of people do. It's still good music. It's just now when I see videos of Michael Jackson performing on stage, I don't think, wow, that guy's really talented. I say, wow, that pedophile is really good at dancing.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know. I have a hard time. If I know in the back of my head, like, that someone is like, has done something terrible and they're not really repentant for it.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not repentant for it, then I have a hard time enjoying anything that they've done, because mm-hmm. I just think you liar. You're lying to me right now. This art is not from truth. This art.
Yeah. But the scary thought is
bad things that we're not repentant for, right? Is that true?
We've all done bad things that we're not repentant for.
Is that true? Are you unrepentant? Are there things that if we knew you had done them, people would condemn you, but you would be like, no, I did nothing wrong.
Probably.
I guess that's not a fair question to ask you.
It probably has. I just can't think of any examples off the top of my head, but
yeah.
I mean, when it comes to musicians and art, like the big, look, if you're going to stop listening to or consuming art where a pedophile had their hand in the creation of it, you're going to be not consuming very much art on
what? You think so?
Well, art that's like pushed to the masses, like Hollywood.
Uh-huh. Okay. Like, an example, there's a new Marvel movie coming out this weekend, Brave mm-hmm. New World, right? They're trying again to get,
who's the superhero?
Captain America Mark II.
So the black guy? Okay. He's the main guy.
He's Captain America.
So it's called Captain America Brave New World.
Brave New World, yeah.
Okay.
This is a mass market film, right? So you mm-hmm. think somewhere in the credits, one of the people in the credits, at least one, in your opinion, they have child pornography on their laptop or something.
Yes.
Wow.
I'm sorry. Okay, think of Weinstein. Think of like everything that Weinstein had his hand in producing. That's all tainted now. You think Weinstein was the only pedophile in Hollywood? You think Marvel is completely clean of pedophilia?
Weinstein was not a pedophile, as far as we know.
Okay.
Let's be fair.
All right. As far as we know, I would be surprised if he didn't, you know, dabble in the Stranger Thing cast lineup.
Jesus Christ, what a great name for that show.
But like, are you aware of the Nickelodeon situation?
Yeah.
So all those shows growing up, watching on TV, a little bit of pedophilia there.
Yeah, I mean, those
episode is going to be called Pedophiles Are Everywhere.
I mean, that's what it seems like sometimes. But
okay, so maybe pedophilia is like an extreme, but like at least very like sexual deviant, you know, predator type people are prevalent throughout high level entertainment because so many people are desperate to be famous and will do shit to be what they think will get them there. Right. And obviously that's a ripe hunting ground for sexual predators.
So, yeah. So like here's maybe the best example I can think of for this, right? Roman Polanski.
Yes. That's yes.
Okay. Cause he's different, right? He's not a producer. He's not a production assistant.
Mm-hmm.
He's not like someone sewing a button on a costume or something. Right?
Yeah.
He's the director. He's got final cut, or theoretically he has final cut. He's the auteur. He's the vision.
Mm-hmm.
It's his film. That guy's an absolute piece of shit. Mm-hmm. So, but this is a problem, right? Because he has made some really great movies. Chinatown, Rosemary's Baby, just to name two.
Mm-hmm.
I think he did The Pianist as well with
fucking Adrian Brody, man.
And that won a fucking Oscar, if I'm not mistaken.
A great movie.
Yeah, it won an Academy Award for Best Actor, right? So can you, or like, how can you give a film an Academy Award for Best Actor knowing that the director is an unrepentant rapist.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like at the very least you have to acknowledge that fact as you're handing the award to Adrian Brody. And you have to check Adrian Brody's phone. And I don't know, man. Like, I think when you start going down that road where you're not going to consume any art, if there was someone that had a hand in creating it that did something dubious, it's going to be, you would be surprised at how little you can actually enjoy. That's why you should always support your independent artists, your local artists. Well,
yeah. I mean, this is a good discussion, right? Collective responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
If, say, let's take a great movie, right? Let's take Schindler's List.
Never seen it.
Me neither. But this is, by all accounts, a great movie. And it has a great message, right? It's historical. It won lots of awards.
Liam Neeson,
Steven Spielberg, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as we know,
my son screaming in the background, but there's nothing I can do about that.
Now, as far as I know, none of the main people, none of the actors, the writers, the director, none of the main artists who contribute to the film are rampaging pedophiles or rapists or whatever.
Right.
But suppose, and this film has like tremendous social value as well.
Okay.
Now, suppose that one of the people whose job it was to like sew buttons onto coats or something. Suppose that ironically that person was an actual Nazi,
mm-hmm.
And had been a guard at a camp and stuff, and had spat on the prisoners and stuff like that. Terrible person. Does that collective responsibility, is there a collective responsibility, even if no one else in the production knows at the time that the movie is made, but then later the movie is released and later this factoid comes out. Do we have to throw away Schindler's List because there's collective responsibility for that one person?
I think what the proper thing you should do is you should acknowledge it, right? It's like how Disney now, they don't take out the old animations they made where it's like a bunch of racist caricatures and shit. Fantasia has a bunch of weird shit in it. Have you ever seen Fantasia? It's got almost some sort of pedophilic undertones. Definitely racial, racist. Faux pas, we'll say.
Good old Walt Disney.
Yes. But they didn't take Fantasia off. It's a piece of history. But at the beginning of the Fantasia, there's a message that comes on screen saying this film depicts some out of date and insensitive things. So we're acknowledging that. We're aware of that. And we're warning you about it. So you don't have to consume this if you don't want to. I think that's the right thing to do. Because it's like everything, like every empire is built with blood, right? It's like when you go back far enough in the history of anything, you're going to find some dark shit, I feel like. You know what I mean?
Oh, it depends on how dark we're talking.
Well, okay, let's look. Let's talk about Catholics, all the Catholics in the world. Should they disavow their religion because there's been so many?
it's all not real. It's all made up.
I mean, I agree, but if someone's Catholic and it brings them a lot of value in their life and it brings their family together and it gives them a sense of purpose and they're a good person, I don't think that they need to stop being Catholic because there's like a billion pedophiles at the Vatican. What they need to do is rout out the pedophiles in the Vatican, but obviously that doesn't happen.
Yeah. Okay. We'll take let's flip it. Cause this is all right. So we can keep, for example, the pianist, we can keep the pianist, but mm-hmm. before the movie plays, there has to be a message that condemns Roman Polanski and instead praises everybody else who was involved, even though they collaborated with the known rapist. But
see, that's a tough one because everybody already knew by the time the pianist was being made that Roman Polanski was. And let's talk about fucking who's the guy, the comedian who groomed his wife that made a bunch of movies that were really popular. Fuck. You know him. He's the Jewish man.
Sacha Baron Cohen?
No. More famous than that.
Pauly Shore.
No, more famous. Think old school Hollywood. I think he made a movie called New York or something.
Woody Allen.
Another one where it's like, you're married to So the Roman Polanski thing is like he already committed the crime and it was well known. So that's kind of like the message at the beginning of the movie would be a little bit like, okay. So
yeah.
Did Roman just say, yeah, I got to make this movie. So yeah, put the message at the front. I don't care. I just really want to make it. And they're like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think at a certain point, you definitely want to draw a line in the sand for who you are willing to work with.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good point. Draw a line in the sand about who you're willing to work with. But if you didn't know, but so does that make it worse? Should we not watch The Pianist now because everyone collaborated with him, knowing what he did? And I don't really know that. I don't really know. Maybe he is very repentant, Roman Polanski. I don't actually know.
Well, then he should come back to America and serve the time.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't know. It is a hard question because it's such a good piece of film. Like, it's such a good movie. And it would be a shame to throw it in the trash and wipe it from the annals. To remove it from the annals of history just because the director is a grooming pedophile. I don't know. It's like, do you get rid of Michael Jackson's catalog? Do we wipe him from history? Like, why don't
I'm not saying like get rid of it. I'm just saying like, can, yeah, maybe I framed it the wrong way. I'm saying like, should we enjoy it? Should we watch it and enjoy it? We don't have to proactively get rid of it.
Should you be, well, whether you enjoy a movie or a song doesn't really, for me, it's like,
would it be wrong to enjoy it?
No, because enjoying something is not a voluntary response.
But knowing that, knowing everything we've said, can you enjoy it without consciously pushing that information out of your mind? Can you still enjoy it? And if that's what it takes to enjoy it, then should you?
I don't think you should push it out of your mind. You should acknowledge it. Okay. So, like I said, when I see a performance of Michael Jackson, I don't forget that he's a pedophile. I can enjoy the performance and acknowledge he's a pedophile at the same time. Okay. It's called doublethink.
Doublethink. Right. Yeah. 1984.
Exactly.
okay. Consider it like,
but that being said, if Michael Jackson was a very mediocre pop star, say it was Drake, then I'm like, it's kind of fucked up to say, but your music isn't good enough to stay in the annals of history. We got to wipe them. We got to wipe these.
Oh, okay. So for you, it is a balancing act between the quality, the social value, and the quality of the artwork.
The quality and the impact it had on the
sin. On the other hand,
the quality, the impact it had on the industry and the art form or the genre in general. I think that does play into. I mean, it shouldn't, but it does, right?
Yeah. Yeah, like there are historical films that are outright racist, like D.W. Griffith, Birth of a Nation. Mm-hmm. But these are still like taught in film school because he, you know, had pioneered innovative film techniques. So they teach about that stuff in film school, but they also highlight that the content itself is, you know, really bad.
Like, what if we found out that the inventor of like, I don't know, the inventor of like toenail clippers was a rampant pedophile?
Oh, do you have to stop using toenails?
Do you have to find a new way to clip your toenails, right?
That's a good one. That's good.
There's no design that anyone's come up with.
They have the patent.
It's better, yeah.
Pedo's got the patent.
The pedo patent. They got us right where they want us. What have you found out that the guy who invented shoes is like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's a huge
nobody invented shoes. Okay. let's stop that talk.
All right. Fine. But the modern toenail clipper, the one we all use, that design has not been improved upon in any significant way.
Yep.
What do we do when we found out, toenail clipper guy was a, what do you do? Just let him grow? Let him grow out. File him.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. There's real utility in toenail clippers. You can't just get
so out. It's like the baby with the bathwater, right? Pedophiles are the bathwater. The art and the useful stuff is the baby.
Okay, that's true. Yeah, I mean, I guess there is a point where you do have to say, "Look, let's."
Also, I must say, as a father of a 4-month-old child, you really got to fuck up to throw out a baby while emptying the bathwater. Like, that's you really.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's next level drunk. And if you just want to kill the baby, then you don't need to throw it out with the bathwater. You just hold his head underneath, I guess.
Whoa, yeah.
Sorry, a little bit dark, but I don't know. That phrase is hilarious because it's like, wow, you really, how small was that baby? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what were you doing where you couldn't pay attention enough and you threw a whole baby out with the bathwater?
It's premature. It was the size of a rubber ducky.
Yeah, well, see, then you shouldn't be giving it open baths like that anyways. Should be in a hospital.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here's one thing, right? So I think that is a good point, right? Because there are some things, they have so much value and utility that you do have to balance it against against that. But then here's another thing. So Roman Polanski, right? Everybody hates him. If you were Roman Polanski and you wanted people to forget about the bad things that you did and you wanted people to like you again, a great thing to do is to make a powerful Holocaust film.
Right.
Because, and then make all these high social value films.
So you think he was...
Is this redemption, manipulation? I don't know.
Is it virtue signaling? He's trying to get people back on his side. Like, what do you think would take...
Yeah, exactly.
If Michael Jackson was alive today, how banger of an album would it take?
To redeem himself.
For people to accept him back into society.
That's a good question. I think, man, it seems like with these sex crimes, there's always a percentage of people who just don't care.
Well, I mean, fucking Bill Cosby's on tour right now. He's probably selling out every venue.
That's
like lots
he's
of people.
He's on tour?
Yeah.
Isn't he blind and like can't talk?
Okay, maybe I'm talking about my house. I know he's doing shows. I know they're probably selling out. Bill Cosby. I shouldn't be
Bill Cosby
this on
show.
Tour. I think I'm going to buy tickets to Bill Cosby.
No, he's not touring.
In December 2022, Bill Cosby announced plans to tour 2023, although the tour was never finalized.
No,
okay, well, I guess it didn't happen. Maybe he wasn't selling tickets. Who knows? Oh, wait. Yeah. Vivid Seats, Bill Cosby tickets in 2025 tour dates. Bill doesn't have any events happening right now. Oh, my God. Yeah, it looks like one of his eyes is getting milky. Maybe not.
He's not on tour.
All right. See, that's why it's important to research. What I do is I make claims, and then when I'm called out on it, then and only then will I look it up.
He's really gone. Like, okay, he's a great example, right? Because the Bill Cosby show had social value at the time. But now I don't think anyone's watching.
Well, here's an example that I always think of is a guy who did something horrific. Massive, massive coverage on the event that he did, the crime he committed. And now he is legitimately on a world tour. Chris Brown. And not only did he didn't just beat the shit out of some random, he beat the shit out of like the biggest female pop star at the time. And people just seem to have forgotten or forgiven him. I always, when a Chris Brown video comes up in my feed, I always remind the people, the folks that are scrolling in the comment section that he's a monster.
He's unrepentant, right?
Yeah.
Like because he would never, because if he did it, he would never admit it. Did he go to prison for that or anything? Or?
That's a good question. Let's ask the internet.
Yeah.
Chris Brown.
Is he convicted?
Assault, prison? Question mark. Arrested for felony assault, 6 months. But I don't think he actually served time.
Yeah. See, people just forgive him; they don't care. This is what I think. I think this art that we all love so much is just a drug, and we don't give a shit who gives it to us as long as we get our fix. Forget everything about their immorality.
I think that if people really like an artist, they will not hold them to the same standard ethically as they would anyone else.
And that's wrong.
It is wrong. And that's why Hollywood and all these famous super top, like the top, okay, go to the Grammys, right? First of all, it's the same fucking 10 artists every year at the Grammys. It's such bullshit. Like really?
Taylor Swift,
Beyonce, they're winning again. There's no one else out there that can compete. Like
they sold the most. It's who sells the most. That's who wins, right?
Well, they should do it by merit. They should let AI decide what's the best song. Wouldn't it be nice if like some complete random put out like the most undeniably amazing song ever and they won the Grammy and was the only song they ever made and no one knew who they were before? Wouldn't that be cool?
How do they market it though?
The Grammys or the song?
How does a song no one heard before win?
Just based on how good it is, right? There's someone's picking
marketing, right? Where's the marketing?
What do you mean?
It doesn't matter how good it is.
So I guess I'm wishing that the Grammys for like the best song or song of the year only took into account the quality of the song, which I guess is extremely objective. So that wouldn't work. So you're right. I guess they're doing it by was the most successful commercially that year, which does not mean it's the best song of the year.
Well, it's like I feel like what they're trying to figure out is because it's different from the Oscars, right? If you look at the best picture nominees in the Oscars, the average cinema goer is going to be like, "What? Where the fuck is Marvel Brave New World? What the fuck?" And it's like the tastes of the Academy are very divergent from the tastes of the mainstream film going public.
Right.
The Grammys is the opposite. The tastes of the whatever the Grammy Academy is are like whatever is the most popular.
Whoever moves the most units, who's got the most streams. Well, then in that case, it's almost always going to be Taylor Swift and Beyonce. See, Beyonce this year won the country album of the year for her, I forget what it was called, like Texas.
Beyonce did.
Yes. And there was, from what I understand, many songs on that album that were straight up not country.
Really?
And it won over like Chris Stapleton, I think, who's like a legitimate country artist.
He's got his own truck and everything, man.
Yeah, but he embodies the genre better. He's super popular, but they gave it to Beyonce because she claimed this album was country when it was far more pop than country. I haven't listened to the whole album. I'm just repeating gripes I heard about it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I almost never believe gripes. I think there's like so much just bullshit. So much bullshit.
Well, yeah, but like I think that the Grammys is just now the way that it's everything's structured and it's like all about streams. It's like, well, yeah, we're going to have fucking Taylor Swift and Beyonce winning every year until they die because they have way the most marketing and weight behind their name. There's no one that's going to catch up to them until they get older and ugly. But now, you know, they're probably sucking the blood or getting young people blood transfusions. There's amazing plastic surgeons now that fix what you would think were unredeemable people's faces. Have you seen like Lindsay Lohan or Christina Aguilera lately? They look like they're fucking 20 years old again because there's like this new plastic surgery that's been going around. So they literally look like brand new. They all kind of look the same, but they don't care. They look brand new, and they now. That usually pop stars age out, right? That was how it was for many years. You get the next young fucking person up there to make it. But people like familiarity over quality.
Pablum. Yeah. That's what all this is. Pablum. Yes.
So now the pop stars never look old, so there's no reason for them to age out, right? As long as they're still getting the people horny.
Yeah, but aren't I mean, yeah, good for them, right? This is how they. Oh, you know why they did it? You know why they did it?
What?
So that they can now they can make a fresh AI hologram scan now that their faces are fixed.
What do you mean?
Well, all the actors are going to be AI generated holograms, right?
Ah. Maybe that's what happened. Maybe that's what they are right now. Maybe those weren't real pictures I saw.
No, I'm just kidding. I think that's all bullshit. I don't think that's going to happen.
You know what's my favorite thing right now that's all over my Facebook is people AI generate pictures of a guy sitting in a field. He's got one leg and he has like an onion in his hand. And he's like, I planted and harvested my field all by myself with one leg and no one cares. And they have a sad face. And then you go to the comments and it's just thousands of people being like, I care. That's great. You did that. It's like clearly AI to me, but it is basically photorealistic. So it's like, I can't even blame these people for, but it's just, that's how people make money now. It's this way to make money is you generate a, there was another one where it was like a family of like, and they had, it was like, they were holding like 8 babies that all looked identical and they claimed they were all like twins or like octuplets or whatever. And it's like, this is our first Christmas together. There's 8 babies wearing Santa hats in this perfect family around a Christmas tree. It's completely AI generated, but most of the people that would comment on something like that, they're not really privy to that shit, right? It's old people. So they just get thousands and thousands and thousands of clicks and reactions, and that drives ad revenue to the person who made the AI image. So it's like, it's wild.
Yeah, it's way too easy to make money without actually contributing any value.
And yet, I'm still poor as hell.
Well, you have standards.
I know, but I feel like they should be, I should lower them.
I should just lower my standards completely. No, if I was going to try and be like a grifter, I would definitely go the religion route and like sell people coins that are they bury in their backyard, and it's going to like let God know where they are when he needs to do the rapture.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's definitely. Yeah. Yeah. The scamming is out of control. I'm convinced that I'm pretty sure virtually every single person who reports on UFOs has no fucking idea what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Every single person. They are being scammed themselves.
I know. That's the thing. It's like multi-level marketing, but with UFOs.
Yeah. And now the politicians are getting in on it.
Yeah.
They're like, we're going to make a task force to find those greenbacks
flipping around. They need to get some of that. I think, I think the if you appeal to someone's religion, it's the easiest way to get money out of them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, much easier than any other way I can think of. And like, UFO stuff is like a religion to some people. So, I don't know.
It's literally becoming like a new age, like, oh, we can summon them with our telepathy powers.
Oh, I mean, do you ever, like a starseed? Look up starseeds. They're the funniest thing on the internet.
The most insane thing about it, though, is like, people are genuinely like convinced that telepathy is real, and you can use it to summon a UFO from space.
Well, let's see it.
And they put out videos where it's like, look, there it is, and there's like a little like a light.
Yeah, way off. But soon, Sam, they'll be able to say, look, there it is, and it'll be a video that is 100% convincing. And it costs them 0 cents to make, because AI is going to get that good at generating videos really quickly.
But the thing is, though, is that they, even if they somehow make a fake video with a fake thing in it, they can't reproduce it in front of live people.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And this is where we always end up back at this point in our podcast, but soon you will not be able to believe anything that's not happening right in front of your goddamn eyes.
No, you can, you're okay. You're okay.
What do you mean? Okay. What do you mean?
Like, when I turn on my computer, I don't think that I'm being fed a fake feed of.
You are, though.
No, when I go to the CNN, that's actually CNN's website.
Okay.
That's actually the article.
What I'm saying is that someone could recreate the CNN website with all those articles and have it be completely convincing, and you wouldn't know. Not saying they do that. There will always be real stuff on the internet. There will always be real videos of real people doing real shit. There's going to be real news clips of actual shit happening. But there's also going to be a lot of fake stuff out there that's indecipherable. So I'm not saying that it will be only fake stuff on the internet. I'm saying you won't be able to know for sure.
Well, okay, two things. I think, one, there already is a lot of fake stuff.
Yeah.
And two, I think the way that you know is that when things are real in the real world, they have a real effect on the real world. And fake things aren't in the real world. They're just on the internet. Mm-hmm. So if there's a fake thing on the internet, people can actually look at the real world and, check. And so I think that, there's the potential, right, for lots of confusion, as we have seen with misinformation and all of that jazz. Mm-hmm. That's all real. That's all very real. But at a certain point, you look outside, like, what's actually happening.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Back to my point, you won't be able to know until you see it for your own eyes. And that's going to be something that...
But you don't need to see it with your own eyes. I don't need to go to Australia to see the 25-foot tall kangaroo that I saw a video of on YouTube. I know that it's not real because Australia isn't reporting, you know, there isn't all the major news outlets from Australia aren't really, you know, reporting on this 25-foot tall kangaroo.
I don't know, man. I've seen news stations pick up fake stories and report them as if they're real. Pretty frequently, because they need content.
It happens, but we're not. I don't think we're heading to a world where I literally can't believe anything unless it happens right in front of my face.
I think
because that's never been true ever, and that's not how anyone believes anything. You believe in a reality because we share a reality with other people, and through sharing reality, interacting, objects have permanence. You learn these things,
but when 90% of people are getting their information from a source that is flooded with fake information, right? It would be different if we're all hanging out together all the time. We could all confirm with each other if what we're seeing is real. But when the way the world is connected is through a channel that is corrupted by AI slop, how are you supposed to really know what you're seeing is real or not? You could have fake news. You could have a video that claims to be a clip from a news station that is legitimate in Australia reporting on a giant kangaroo, and you wouldn't be able to tell that you would think that's the actual news anchor channel.
Well, no, you have a responsibility to go to a trusted source.
Well, I'm just saying that trusted sources can be emulated and replicated.
But not at not the real source, the actual website.
Well, what if I went to CNN.com and I was just redirected to a completely AI generated perfect replica with fake news stories?
What if a demon is controlling your mind right now and planting the next thought that you're going to think?
Because I don't think there's a mechanism for that to be possible, where it's very obvious to me that AI has the capability to do what I'm talking about.
But I don't think that's real, though. The internet doesn't work like that, as far as I know.
Well, I don't think it works like that yet, but I think that we are entering into a very sketchy, as far as the information age is about to hit a real, it's about to have a conundrum.
Well,
most of the articles you see, not only most of the articles you see on Facebook, most of the comments are not real. Hello?
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 Can you hear me?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. Well, maybe that's our sign. I think we just got hacked. We just got fucking hacked by the mainframe.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Well, we're at an hour. Let's shut her down.
Alrighty. Well, all right. It's been fun, everybody.
You're not like us. Next episode will probably be us completely AI generated. Here's the thing, guys, is that soon Sam and I will not even do the podcast. We'll just have AI emulate our voices. And we have enough episodes now. It knows what subjects we talk about and our opinions on them. And then we can just pump out episodes every single fucking day. How's that sound? All right, our email is tpspod420@gmail.com. if anyone's out there, please, for the love of God, send us an email. Okay. Also, fuck Drake.
Oh, come on.
Don't actually, you know, don't do that to him, but like, metaphorically, I don't like him.
Yeah, groomer.
Yeah, groomer.
But maybe his music isn't that bad.
His music. that's a personal thing. It's terrible, though, objectively. Okay, bye.
Haters of the building. All right, see you.